Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day. I come to entertain. On today's show, we're going to be breaking down the Bucks preseason starting off. Hunter Baumgart will stop by from 97.3 The Game to talk about the Brewers offseason, Green Bay's offensive offense, and we'll also have Tomahawk head football coach Dewey Riley previewing Tomahawk's season finale against Clintonville. But first, we're going to head to the gridiron and talk some Badger football. All right, so Wisconsin football getting the victory again this past Saturday, defeating Rutgers 24-13. It was another ugly win for Wisconsin. I unfortunately did not have to watch the game, not because I had Peacock. Yes, that's where the game was broadcast on.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not crazy, and I'm not out of my mind. Again, it seems like that college sports is now starting to go towards a streaming location, and we see that a lot now with basketball as well. But again, the Badgers, they were able to get the win. That game, just on paper, because I didn't watch it, because I was at Inshallah Country Club providing updates on the cross-country meet this past Saturday. That was, on paper, I think, the best defensive performance of the season by Wisconsin. Season low in points given up, which was 13. And Rutgers, they're a team that is not there yet. Greg Schiano is the head coach there. He's done a pretty good job trying to build that program back up. They held Rutgers to 275 yards of offense, which I think is a little too much, but they forced 8 punts and held them to 64 rushing yards. That's far better than giving up 175 to Purdue last week. And the turning point in the game, to be honest with you, was a defensive play. It was. It was the Ricardo Holman 95-yard pick six right before halftime, and that made the score 17-0. And that was essentially the difference in the game. But what concerns me right now about this Badger team is the fact that this offense continues to be stagnant. Tanner Mordecai, 17-31, 145 passing yards. He did have 50 rushing yards and a passing touchdown also in this game. But again, this Badger team, they don't seem to be moving the ball effectively. I don't know if it's necessarily them trying to learn a new offense. I think it's the fact that Tanner Mordecai is in a brand new system. Again, this is his last year of eligibility. This is not how you want to go out. But the one thing that I was very happy with was Braylon Allen getting over 20 carries. He had 21 carries, 101 yards, a touchdown. The Badgers as a team ran for 213 rushing yards. That is typical Wisconsin football. Low penalties, no penalties in that game. I think 2, as a matter of fact. That was Wisconsin football. They turned it over twice, though. The turnovers are starting to become a little more concerning. And Tanner Mordecai is a quarterback that will take shots eventually, occasionally down the field. The big thing with him, though, when he was at SMU, was that he was able to offset the interceptions that he threw with the fact that he threw 30 touchdowns in back-to-back seasons as a starter. He's not doing that right now. He's just not doing that. And the reason why he's not doing it is because that this is a brand new offense and everybody is trying to figure everything out on the fly before the Big Ten season begins to hit. They lost a turnover battle 2-1. They did commit just 2 penalties. Now, this is my message to Wisconsin as we start to head into the creme de la creme of the Big Ten season. Because the Badgers have Iowa coming to town next week. That's a rivalry game that's going to be a very, very difficult game. It'll probably be a defensive struggle. Wisconsin will probably give up less than 13 points, in my opinion, to Rutgers. And the only reason why Wisconsin gave up 13 was because they turned the ball over in the final 3 minutes of the game. Defense, just keep up that game. If they give up 64 rushing yards, 275 total yards per game to Big Ten opponents, I'm totally okay with that. I would maybe like to see another turnover or two, but a turnover that immediately goes for 6, that's definitely something to keep an eye on. That defensive performance from Wisconsin will win you most games. It will. It will win you most games in the Big Ten. It may not beat the powers of the Big Ten, that which all seem to be in the East this year because you got Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State over there as well. So Wisconsin, essentially, all they have to do is just handle their business with their schedule, and they could very well be in the Big Ten championship when it's all said and done. Now, my message for the offense, and this is for Phil Longo and Luke Fickell. You got the win. Keep feeding Braylon Allen. I know you're afraid of him getting hurt. I know that he has been, you know, the number one. He's been the 1A, and Malusi was the 1B until he got hurt last year, until last week. But Braylon Allen should get 25 carries a game. I would like to see that number go up to 25 carries a game for Braylon Allen. 21 is good. 25 would be the perfect amount for him because, in my opinion, that will keep the defenses on their toes. And plus, you give him the ball more in the fourth quarter, he is going to wear them down. Now, again, the Badgers of Iowa coming up. Iowa is on their backup quarterback. Cade McNamara is gone for the season. And my message to Wisconsin, as they've got Iowa, and then they go to Illinois. That's a revenge game against Brett Bielema. And that, to me, is a very winnable game as well. Take care of business. Take care of business and don't overlook your opponent. Because if you overlook your opponent, you're going to end up like what happened with Washington State. Now, I know they lost to UCLA, but Washington State is still ranked in the top 25. Just don't overlook your opponents. Wisconsin is Iowa coming up this Saturday at 3 o'clock in the battle for the Heartland Trophy at Camp Randall on Fox. Again, kickoff at 3. After that, they've got Illinois at 2:30 in Bloomington. And then the final October is a big game. Number 4 Ohio State comes to town to Camp Randall on Saturday. I anticipate that that will be probably the nationally televised game. Just my best guess. So that's going to do it for Wisconsin. Coming up after the break, we are going to sit down with 97.3 The Game executive producer Hunter Baumgart to get his thoughts on what the Brewers need to do this offseason. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
The Goods Do It Express features a large selection of hunting products for the fall season. Check out Brian's selection of archery equipment, from crossbows to custom-cut arrows. Choose from a variety of tree stands, the muddy-enclosed hunting blind and ladder stands, ammunition, scopes, deer scents, feeds, hunting clothing, boots, and so much more. The Goods Do It Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, ready for the fall hunting season.
Make sure your furnace is ready for the upcoming Northwoods winter with a Carrier Home Comfort System from Hilge's LP Gas. Bringing comfort to your home is Hilge's LP Gas of Tomahawk's top priority, and with a complete lineup of furnace systems, Carrier and Hilge's are dedicated to improving your quality of life by creating a comfortable, healthy living environment. Remember last winter? Well, yeah, don't wait until the snow flies this year. Get your new Carrier furnace now. Carrier, turn to the experts at Hilge's LP Gas, South Tomahawk Avenue, or Hilge's.com online. Call Hilge's at 453-3505.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Currently joining me, 97.3 The Game executive producer and a frequent guest of the show, Hunter Baumgart. Hunter, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, good to be back, and wish I was talking to you under better circumstances with the Brewers, but unfortunately that season ended a little quicker than we thought.
Well, let's go ahead and expand on that, Hunter. Brewers obviously swept by the Arizona Diamondbacks, who right now look like one of the hotter teams in the National League, but what happened to the Brewers in that wild card series?
Oh, man, it's something that I think the Brewers staff, I think the Brewers upper management, I think the players have all been kind of grappling with over the past week since they were eliminated. I think it was a combination of things. I think it started with the Brandon Woodruff injury. You know, you always want to go into October hot, right? It's always who's going to get hot at the right time? Who's going to get hot at the right time? And as years have went by, I've kind of thought, you know, you want to get momentum in September and try to carry that into October. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, the Brewers finished in their last 40 games. They were 27-13, so they really did well. They won 2 out of 3 against the Cubs, even in a meaningless series for the Brewers. They won their last game of the season. They shut out the Cubs. You know, they should feel good They had all the momentum in the world heading into, and the Arizona Diamondbacks had lost four in a row and had hardly scored any runs against the Astros in their final series of the season. So I'm like, that sets up really well for this momentum to work this season. Well, the opposite happened, and the Arizona Diamondbacks now have won four games in a row, two in Milwaukee and two in L.A., and we'll see what happens tonight back in Arizona. But
yeah,
it's almost like it doesn't necessarily, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter what happens in September, as long as you get in, and then you could catch fire and then see what happens. Because as we saw with Texas, who advanced to the ALCS last night, Texas had also not played very well in their last series of the season against Seattle. They don't win the AL West. Houston mm-hmm. does. And then they've all of a sudden gotten hot, and now they're in the ALCS. So it's unfortunately kind of the momentum flipped the other way for the Brewers, and I think what happened was they had that momentum through the Sunday, the last Sunday of the regular season, then the Monday they get the news of Brandon Woodruff. And I think that hurt not only on the mound, because you'd love to have him in game two, and he had been arguably your best pitcher, really, over the last, you know, 2 months of the season when he came back. So you have to have that guy in the mound. Of course, Freddie's a great third option, but he's the third option for a reason. And so you had to bump him up to game two, which he wasn't expecting. Mindset's probably, you know, going game three. So that, all of that combined, and then they didn't get the key hits in the series, and there you go, they're eliminated.
So let's go ahead now and expand on the Brewers offseason. A lot of question marks and uncertainty surrounding Milwaukee, Hunter. You had the opportunity to listen in on what Matt Arnold said in his post-game press conference. What did he have to say?
Yeah, it was season-ending press conference yesterday at the American Family Field, and they do these, you know, every season. They come out and they talk. It was, you know, for David Stearns did it for a while. Heck, even Craig Counsell was a part of it a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Especially, I remember in 2018 when they went to the NLCS, Craig Counsell was a part of it. Now, Craig Counsell's got a decision to make, and we'll get into that. And so that there's the reason why he wasn't there yesterday. So Matt Arnold fielded the questions, and he's one thing I love about Matt Arnold, he's very personable. He'll give the answers that he can give. But it wasn't, you know, there was nothing groundbreaking. The three points that I took away were this: they're not going to put a timetable on Craig Counsell. Now, Craig Counsell's managerial contract ends on October 31st. Mm-hmm. So he is, you know, in essence, a free agent, and he is a free agent after that date. And before that, the other teams, if they want to talk to Craig, will have to request that from the Brewers. So where does this, you know, where does this lead as far as timeline? Matt Arnold said, we're not going to put a timetable on Craig. Now, knowing Craig and his staff and everything like that, it just it seems like, not that I know him well, but just, you know, what we've learned from the past of Craig, he's not going to put his staff of guys or the Brewers in a bad position, I would think. And so he's probably going to make the decision sooner rather than later. So no timetable on Craig, but he's still their top choice. They really want him back.
Obviously.
Brandon Woodruff, they're going to get sent. Yeah, for sure. A second opinion on that shoulder, on Brandon Woodruff, Arnold said, they're getting a second opinion there. He said it's hard to say whether he'll be ready for opening day just because they don't know the extent of the injury yet. Now, it's been like 10 days since they knew the injury, which is interesting, and I thought Woodruff said to us last week that they are getting a second opinion on last Friday, so they might even be getting another. I'm not sure, but they're just trying all the other options to see what's going to be the case there. It makes me a little leery because the more opinions you get, I feel like the more serious the injury is. So
yes,
we'll see what happens there. Yeah, so I'm a little leery, and he said it's hard to say whether they'll be ready for opening day, so we'll see about that. And then Corbin Burns, of course, he's heading into the last year of his contract next year. And there's been a lot of, you know, rumors about whether he'll be traded in the offseason so the Brewers can kind of get some prospects back for him and not let him just walk in free agency. But Matt Arnold said they're not going to – they never shut the door of any conversations. However, he does expect him to be a Brewer next season. So those were kind of the three main takeaways from the press conference.
Again, talking here with Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game here on Sports Q on WJJQ. Hunter, looking at this Brewers team, obviously not only do you have Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns, obviously Craig Counsell, you got Willy Adames' future that's in question as well. What should be Milwaukee's top priority this offseason, you think?
That's a good question. I mean, I want to keep that bullpen intact as much as you can. You got to really, you had the top bullpen in the major leagues this year. So as much of those guys as you can retain, I'm not sure exactly what the contract situations are there, but a lot of them I think just are arbitration guys and guys you can just bring right back. So That's the good news there. But I think it's the corner infield positions, Alex. I really do. I mean, they had first base in Rowdy. I don't expect Rowdy back. And then he got hurt, and then they brought in Carlos Santana. Maybe you could get Carlos Santana on a veteran kind of, you know, cheaper deal and bring him back. I wouldn't mind that. But then again, he's what, heading into his, you know, he's going to be 38 next season. So
yeah.
How much production are you really going to get? And he was great down the stretch, but that was only a two-month stretch. And then third base as well. Third base is obviously, it was a myriad of people this year, right? You had Brian Anderson, and really Andre Monasterio played a lot of third base.
Yeah.
And then Josh Donaldson, you know, over the last month of the season into the postseason. So that's a position where you need to solidify. Now, there's a couple ways you could go with that. Andre Monasterio could be a third baseman. I just don't know if he's your everyday guy.
Right.
He hit well. You know, he hit for average for sure for a couple of months there. He was called up, if memory serves, about mid-June, and so he that was good. But then he kind of tailed off toward the end of the season. You'd like to get a solidify there. Now you do have Tyler Black in AAA. Tyler Black had a really, really good season in the minor leagues. And he could be a third baseman or a first baseman. So I'm thinking maybe he comes up, and Matt Arnold said yesterday he could be a factor even early in the season next year. So maybe he plays one of those positions and they go out and they trade or sign another guy for one of those other corner infield positions.
So right now, and it's very interesting that you bring up first base also, Hunter. It seems like that the Brewers haven't had a legitimate starting first baseman since Prince Fielder left now 12 years ago, which is crazy to me.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. It's for some reason, I was just telling this to someone, I think, over the weekend, why is this position so elusive for the Brewers? You got Rowdy, and Rowdy had a nice season, not this past season, but the year before, 2022. He had a very good, I mean, he had 30 home runs.
Yeah.
His average wasn't great, but he had 30 home runs, and you want power out of those positions. You know, a lot of talk about the Brewers, and especially in those two games in the playoffs, is the power. They didn't hit home runs this season. They were 24th in the league in home runs this season. They were third last season. So there was a huge drop-off in home runs for the Brewers from one year to the next. And a big part of that was Rowdy Tellez, because you got 30 from him, you know, a year ago. And I think he hit, like, I don't know, 12 or 13, 14. It wasn't a lot. And so I kind of thought after last season, okay, Rowdy's not too bad defensively either. He could be your first baseman. And then he tailed off this year, and we're back at square one again with this first base position. I mean, there's been so many guys who they've tried over there. Now, Mark Canna is a guy who could play first base. He was actually taking some reps at first base before those playoff games, just in case, kind of an emergency, you know, type situation. I would love to get Mark Canna back, because I think he's a really good ball player.
I agree.
Such a crowded outfield. Yeah, you have such a crowded outfield that maybe you could put him over there at first and kind of solve that issue. Now, you'd have to see how good he is defensively over there.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not a liability, then maybe I would put Mark Canna over there. But you're right. It's been just a cycle of guys, of the Juan Franciscos of the world, and
yes,
there's like this massive list of first basemen that they've went through. Heck, Ryan Braun was playing over there a little
bit. Jesus Aguilar as well, who had a couple of good seasons in Milwaukee.
He did, and then he kind of tailed off. I mean, there's just been a bunch of them. So hopefully they can solidify that over the offseason, whether it be a Tyler Black or whether it be a Mark Canna or whether it be bring back Santana, whatever it happens to be. But again, if you bring back Santana, that's only like a one-year fix. You'd love to get like a guy like Tyler Black, although I think he's more third base, but you'd love to get a guy from the minor leagues and just sit him there for 5-7 years.
Again, talking here with Hunter Bumgard from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, one final question before I let you go. What is one free agent that you think the Brewers should go after this season?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily a name, but I think it's more, the Brewers are going to be in a situation where they're going to have kind of organizationally a decision to make here. What route do they go? Because you have, as you mentioned, Willy Adames' future a little up in the air. He has 1 year left on his deal.
Yep.
Corbin Burns, 1 year left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Counsell, will he come back? And if Craig Counsell doesn't come back, I wonder if this is going to be, then I wonder if you trade Corbin Burns in the offseason. Then I wonder if you think about moving Willy Adames, although I'd like to keep Willy Adames. He had a down year offensively this year, but I'd like to still keep him and see what he can do next year. And if you I don't know if they'd maybe even sign him to an extension this offseason. It'd be for less of, you know, what he was probably going to get heading into last offseason. Willie kind of, it seemed like the Brewers were hesitant last offseason to sign Willie Adames, and then they kind of were proved right with what happened this year. So we'll see what happens there. But they've got decisions. You know, Craig Counsell doesn't come back. Not that they're going to go full rebuild, because this team, you know, this organization is kind of in a reload state. They're not going to tear it all down. They're not going to go in and win
65 games next year.
And they're not in a position to do that because their pitching staff is so good, and they've still got Woody under contract. And obviously he only has one more year left in his deal, but that's big too. Say Woody, for some reason, and I don't know the extent of the injury, but he's going to miss significant time next year. They already know that. You know, then all of a sudden, if you trade Corbin Burns and Craig Counsell doesn't come back, you're in a precarious spot. And so then I wonder if they don't go and necessarily sign, you know, a big free agent or something, and they really play the young guys next year with Christian Yelich. Maybe you bring back Mark Canna. And I don't know how this team looks next year. I think this is going to be a fascinating offseason, because you've got so many decisions, big organizational decisions to make. And I think it all starts with Craig Counsell in the next month and what he does.
I would definitely agree, Hunter. A lot of questions surrounding the Brewers this offseason as they finish 92-70 and are swept by the Arizona Diamondbacks in the first round of the postseason. Hunter, thank you for joining me once again.
Absolutely. Always fun to talk to you and be back on WJJQ. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, absolutely. Hunter Baumgart from 97.3 The Game. Coming up after the break, we'll play you some hatchet highlights from the football team's victory over Westfield. You're tuned in to the Sports Queue here on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Queue with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Currently about 5:54. We got about 5 minutes until our next CBS Sports Update. Let's play you some highlights from the Hatchet football victory over Westfield. The Tomahawk took a trip down to Westfield for their final road game of the season, and Tomahawk got on the board first in the second quarter. I formation set, wing back to the right is Ryan Larson. Jonah Dickens, lone receiver to the left. I formation, Braden Larson under center. He will take hand off to Caleb Dickens, trying to fight his way, falling forward. He's in, touchdown, Tomahawk. Caleb Dickens with a 2-yard touchdown run, 10:59 to go, second quarter, 6-0 Tomahawk.
That could have been actually disastrous. Braden Larson and Caleb Dickens ran into each other on the handoff, and Caleb stumbled a little bit on the exchange, but just enough of a window for Dickens to stumble forward, got his weight moving forward, able to power over.
Well, the Tomahawk would only put forth 7 points on the scoreboard on Friday night, but in the meantime, defensively, Braden Larson came into action.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
Here's his first interception.
And the shotgun is going to be Lentz this time. Gatlin Mortimer's in the backfield with four receivers in the game. Sending a man in motion, that's Barrios Morales. Lentz takes, and he is going to throw, rolling out to the right, looking deep downfield. He's going to air it out into tight coverage. Intercepted! Picked off at the 45-yard line by Braden Larson. Intended for Owen Hendy, but it was underthrown. Braden Larson able to get under it, and the Hatchets take over at the Westfield 45-yard line.
Well, there's a turnover you were talking about. It's been a few weeks since it happened, and that was underthrown. Larson made up a lot of ground as soon as the ball went in the air, and Johnny on the spot, plus field position again for the Hatchets.
Next defensive possession. another Larson interception. Second down and 10 from the 22-yard line. Lentz again in the shotgun, and they got four receivers in the game this time. Varicose Morales in motion. Lentz is going to take. He will roll to the right. Looking. He sets up. He's going to heave it downfield into tight coverage. It is intercepted. Intercepted again at the 42-yard line by Brandon Larson. His second pick of the night intended for Owen Hendy, and the Hatchets take over at the Westfield 42.
Exact same play they ran with the exact same result previous. Larson was not fooled. Larson was kind of directing traffic in the secondary. He watched Morales motion and watched Hendy come across, was not fooled, stayed deep, and again was the guy that was in better position to make a play.
Two first half interceptions for Brandon Larson. Westfield would drive the ball down the field and eventually hit the red zone. And at the end of the first half, it was another Hatchet defensive play that ended the half on a high note.
Tomahawk shifting their defense on the front line. Lens waiting for the snap. He's going to take. He is going to throw. Looks like he's going to try and take a shot. He's rolling out to the left under pressure. He's hit. Lost the football. And it's going to be recovered by the Hatchets to end the first half. Ethan Gibo makes the play. Brett Marheine gets the strip sack. And that's how the first half comes to an end. Great finish by the Hatchet defense.
Exactly what the doctor ordered. It put some pressure on it. Again, who owns the line of scrimmage on both sides? Tomahawk had done it on defense. Allowed some big plays there, got immediate pressure, and blew up whatever was planned.
Tomahawk would go into the half with a 7-0 lead, and once the second half came along, Brandon Larson showed up again.
You're going to see Larson probably drop back a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like Brandon Larson is going to drop back a bit. Again, Lentz waiting for the snap. In motion is going to be Mormon.
And now he comes up to cover the edge.
And Lentz is going to throw it, and he's going to fire deep over the middle. And that's a diving interception for Brandon Larson at the 27-yard line. His third interception of the night.
Third pick of the night for Brandon Larson. And if you think that's impressive, he was not done yet.
Second down and 8 from the 45-yard line. In the shotgun again is Lentz. Four receivers in the game, two to the right and two to the left. Lentz takes. He is going to throw again. He pumps once. He's going to try and take a shot downfield. Looking for Owen Hendy. And it is intercepted at the 25-yard line. Guess who? Brandon Larson again. His fourth interception of the night. He is living in Brandon Lentz's head in this one.
And they have tried to shake him loose at least three times on that side. And Larson has never been fooled once. He's always found himself in the better position, put his foot in the ground, high-pointed it. And again, for the fourth time, there is where the defense shows up.
And to gift wrap the night, Brandon Larson gets another.
Westfield is 2-for-7 on third down tonight. Third down and 6 from the 43. Varicose Morales is going to throw it this time. He's a lefty. He's going to throw it deep downfield, and it is intercepted. Guess who? Brandon Larson again across the 40, and he is across the 45 down to the 47-yard line. The official takes a shot. A flag comes in at the end of the play, and the Hatchets will take over. Let's check the flag. 5 interceptions tonight for Brandon Larson. Unbelievable performance from him defensively.
And that's tough. He was rolling to his right, was Varicose Morales, and had to come back left-handed. The flag came in well after the play. It's almost like, you know, one official threw the flag because his buddy went down.
Brandon Larson's 5 interceptions are a brand new school record for Tomahawk. They would defeat Westfield 7-0. They're now 5-5 on the season. They have a chance to get a win and in scenario this Friday when they take on the Clintonville Truckers at Hatchet Field. We'll have the broadcast for you on WJJQ. Matt Turkowitz will join me in the broadcast booth. And speaking of Hatchet football, we'll have Dewey Riley on the flip side of CBS News. Also coming up, we'll talk about the Bucks preseason, including a couple of star players that'll make their preseason debut this upcoming Sunday. And we'll talk about Green Bay's offensive performance against the Raiders. All that's coming up on the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It's 49 degrees, 6 o'clock, time for news.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. The death toll of Americans killed by Hamas has jumped to 22, and 17 others are still missing. But more than 1,200 people have died in Israel in the last 5 days, and President Biden calls it the deadliest day for Jews since the Holocaust.
You know, the past few days have been a solemn reminder that hate never goes away.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken's headed to Israel to help assess the country's needs and discuss the hostage situation there.
We have a number of Americans who remain unaccounted. We are working very closely with the government of Israel to determine their whereabouts and if they have been taken hostage by Hamas to work to secure their release.
Meantime, Israel has vowed to destroy Hamas in Gaza. But many innocent civilians have been caught in the crossfire. Kamal Mashwari spoke with a translator. He's sheltering in a safe room with 45 relatives.
My lungs started to hurt me because of the bad smell that the explosives are giving. The noise is just breaking our ears. They're bleeding because it is so, so loud.
More than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed there. House Republicans are rallying support for Steve Scalise, who says they need to get back to work to help our ally.
We need to make sure we're sending a message to people all throughout the world that the House is open and doing the people's business. And our first resolution we pass under Speaker Steve Scalise will be to make it clear that we stand with Israel.
It's unclear when a speaker vote could happen. George Santos is standing his ground despite facing more federal charges.
As George Santos tells reporters he won't step down following even more allegations. There's a new push by Democrats to oust him. House Democratic Caucus Chair Pete Aguilar.
The House Democratic Caucus firmly believes that that individual, that George Santos, does not meet the standards of someone who should serve under this dome.
A group of first-term New York Republicans also say they'll push to expel Santos from Congress. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
The Coast Guard says it's recovered remaining debris from a submersible that imploded back in June, including possible human remains. That sub was about 1,600 feet from the Titanic when it killed all five people on board. Big money up for grabs later tonight. CBS's Steve Kathan.
Sir, this is $20 for you.
Ticket sales expected to be brisk.
I have absolutely no idea what I would do with it. I'm a grad student right now, so I can barely pay my rent.
It's the second largest lottery prize in history.
$1.73 billion. It could go even higher, though, if no one wins. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a clinically accurate, fast, and non-invasive thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Now's the time to get your place ready for company with up to 40% off select online bath at the Home Depot, because the holidays are coming to town, and so are your friends, your family, and their friends and family. So let the Home Depot help get your bathroom guest ready with the Tabana Vanity and the matte black Oswell faucet from Glacier Bay. For more storage and a new modern look, refresh your space with up to 40% off select online bath. Plus, get free delivery on all online vanities and faucets from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
There's a new snail species that snagged a famous name.
Wasting away again in Margarita.
Scientists are honoring the late Jimmy Buffett by naming a tiny lime green-colored galbinus snail the Coya Margarita. It was found hiding inside the coral barrier reef along the Florida Keys, where the musician liked to sail his yacht. The lead author of the study that identified the miniature creature species says he's a parrothead himself, and the color reminded him of Buffett and that drink he sang about. Buffett died of skin cancer in September. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
People returning to offices full-time are paying more to be there. That's according to the new State of Work report that shows most full-time workers are spending an average $51 a day to work at the office. That's between food, coffee, commuting, parking. Experts say inflation is a big part of it. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're currently tuned into the Sports Queue. 50 degrees here under overcast skies here at our WJJQ studios. Here's your weather forecast.
The forecast for the Northwoods: highs hitting the low 50s under mostly cloudy skies today with some breaks of sunshine. Will be partly cloudy through the overnight with lows falling to 34 degrees. Tomorrow, unfortunately, we're going to remain under mostly cloudy skies, and winds are going to start to get breezy out of the east, gusting up to 20 miles per hour with a high temperature of 55. By tomorrow night, the rain arrives. Winds will start to whip Friday up to 30 miles per hour and brings along heavy rain at times with potential localized flooding possible. Highs will stay crisp, hitting 47. I'm WJJQ meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. Currently joining me, Tomahawk head football coach Dewey Riley. Dewey, thank you once again for joining me. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Alex.
All right, let's go ahead, get right into it here. Let's go back a little bit to your performance at Westfield last week. What did you think of your team's performance on Friday?
It was good to go down and get a win in Westfield. Again, I was very impressed with Westfield as far as their community spirit and what they were doing for their homecoming. For us to go down there and get a win was a very big tone setter for us heading into the last part of our season.
You know, Dewey, obviously you're heading into your game this week. It's against Clintonville. It's the final game of the season. What are you going to remember the most about this senior class with eight seniors on the team this year?
I think the biggest thing that I'll remember is the fact that we had a really good group of kids. These kids have not historically done well record-wise, and not saying that, you know, it was outstanding this year, but we were competitive just about every single week. You know, we had our couple hiccups here and there, but the fact that we did not have any issues in the locker room, the fact that these kids all got along, that when we did face adversity, we faced it together, is a testament to some of these older kids.
No, talking here with Tomahawk head football coach Dewey Riley on the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Dewey, what do you think has been your team's best performance so far this season?
That is a good question. If I'm going to be honest, I don't know if we have truly put four quarters together. I think that we have seen glimpses of our potential, be it in first half, second halves, quarters. But I don't know if we have actually put together a complete game in all three phases of football, be it offense, defense, special teams. And I think that is, in the offseason, one of our focal points is that if we want to do the things we think we're capable of, we can't just play a half of football. We can't forget about an aspect of special teams, things like that. And so going forward, it's going to be, now that we've got a little time, strategically, how do we put ourselves in position to be successful through an entire game, through an entire season? And there's definitely some things that I will change.
You know, looking at this team, Dewey, your team has been injured throughout most of the season. You said at the beginning of the year that the beginning of the season is the healthiest that the team will always be. But how well do you think has your team responded to the injuries they've sustained over the course of this season?
I think that our team has responded extremely well. Again, this is just another phase of adversity that these kids have to mentally be able to overcome. And we talk all the time, the best ability is availability. And if somebody goes down, somebody has to be willing to fill in that spot and perform to the best of their ability. We lose a Rex. We lose a Jonah. We lose a Caleb. You get various guys that are dinged up throughout the season and are able to have somebody come in and fill those shoes. It is a numbers game, and that is what we need to, again, work on as far as our depth. You know, we may not have the school capacity to have five kids out for football. We need to be in that mid-40s to 50s range, in my opinion, to truly kind of field the team and be competitive.
Again, talking here with Tomahawk head football coach Dewey Riley on the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Dewey, your team is now currently on the verge of potentially clinching a playoff spot. What are you looking for to wrap up this season?
I'm sure people are tired of hearing it, but the goal is always 1-0 every week. I like what we did defensively last week. We made a few tweaks. We're going to have to make a few more tweaks again this week. Clintonville is going to come out to try and establish the pass to set up the run, and we have to be able to respond to the various formations and route patterns that they are going to throw at us. I think that we are going to be able to do that. Offensively, again, we're going to have to modify the plan a little bit, as we did last week, and think more about ball control, time of possession, picking our moments when we take a shot downfield rather than trying to be a little bit more wide open. Again, when we are limited as far as personnel, we're going to be expecting a whole lot of some kids to step up and fill some voids. and I like to give them the opportunity to do it.
So, Dewey, as we go ahead and wrap everything up here, let's go ahead and expand a little bit more on your season finale at home against Clintonville. It's senior night, potential playoff spot in the mix. Clintonville is the one team in the Northwoods, as you said, that really likes to throw it. But what does your team need to do to get the victory specifically?
We need to be fundamentally sound. When you look at our season as a whole, it has been the big play breakdown where, you know, we've done really well and then we give up a big one. Or we give up a big one on special teams, or we miss a tackle. That just comes down to the fundamentals of knowing what your position is, knowing where you fit in the scheme, and then executing. And again, we're young. It's not an excuse. I truly believe that we are better today than we were in August, and I like to see how that plays out. What could be better than going into your last week of the season and you win, you're in?
Yeah, there's nothing better than it. Dewey, any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, I just, again, as always, I really want to thank the community. I especially want to thank our kids for the season that they've put in. It has been enjoyable. Like I said, you know, the scoreboard takes care of itself, but from a team perspective, just an excellent group of kids. Had a lot of fun and grown with the coaching staff, and looking forward to seeing how we wrap up this season and then gearing up for next.
Again, Tomahawk wraps up their regular season at home against Clintonville on Friday. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35, kickoff at 7 o'clock. Matt Turkowitz will join me in the broadcast booth. Dewey Riley, head football coach for the Tomahawk Hatchets, thank you once again for joining me, and thank you very much for joining me throughout the season, Dewey.
As always, Alex, I appreciate all that you guys do and coming along the games, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Dewey Riley, head Tomahawk football coach. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I'll break down the Packers' offensive performance against the Raiders. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. High school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Whether you grew up with a fluffer nutter sandwich packed in your lunchbox, or you're known to add a swipe of peanut butter to your s'more, Dairy Queen's Royal Blizzard Reese's Fluffer Nutter is a flavor combo you don't want to miss. At the center of Royal Reese's Fluffer Nutter Blizzard, surrounded by our world-famous soft serve, mixed with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and marshmallow. Relive your childhood with Dairy Queen's Royal Reese's Fluffer Nutter Blizzard. Nobody does ice cream like Dairy Queen. Open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Located on North 4th Street, overlooking the Wisconsin River.
Summer has come to an end, but fall is upon us, and so are the deals in October at Brickner Motors in Little Chicago. During Jeep Adventure Days, get a new 2023 Gladiator Sport for 15% off MSRP, the most capable and adaptable midsize truck. Drive in style in a new 2023 Grand Cherokee or the new third-row Grand Cherokee L. Now, during Jeep Adventure Days, get 10% off MSRP. Also, 10% off MSRP on new 2023 Jeep Compass and Renegade. Changing seasons also means current year model sell down, so we can make room for incoming new 2024 models. Select inventory bonus cash on in-stock new 2023 Ram 1500 2500 Crew Cab, Tradesman, Bighorn, and Laramie models. Gas and diesel receive an additional $1,000 for being here on Little Chicago's Northeast Side, on top of all other incentives. The new 2023 Ram 1500 Bighorn and Laramie models are offering 2.9% for 72 months, or up to $7,000 in total incentives. Financed with Chrysler Capital to approved credit, see dealer for details.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. It's now 6:15. Let's go ahead and dive into the Green Bay Packers now. All right, so I don't think that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you how poorly Green Bay's offense played in Vegas. They lose 17-13 this past Sunday. Here's the thing. That was probably the best defensive performance of Green Bay season. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is. There were obviously a couple of lapses, like Preston Smith being lined up on Davante Adams. That obviously is a big defensive lapse. That's what Joe Barry does, though. They held the Raiders to 279 total yards, just 96 on the ground, which, again, that is a bend-but-don't-break mentality when it comes to running the football. The defense held Davante Adams to just 4 catches for 45 yards. They forced Jimmy Garoppolo to be methodical, and to the Raiders' credit, offensively it worked. Here's the thing, though. If you want to go ahead and put the blame here on Jordan Love, I've got no issue with that. Because 3 interceptions in a game does not bode well for you. I will remind folks that Aaron Rodgers did have 3 interceptions in a game twice in his first year as a starter. So if you want to go ahead and say that Jordan Love did not play well, I'm not going to go ahead and defend that. He did not play well. Now again, no Aaron Jones. David Bakhtiari is gone for the year. They did have all the receivers healthy. But here's the thing. It is up to the coach to put those players in positions to succeed. Matt LaFleur did not do that on Monday night. He didn't. They tried to establish the run game with A.J. Dillon, which I thought was a decent move because Dillon is not a guy that will run off tackle. He's a guy that will run right at the middle and give you 3, 4, maybe even 5 yards in a cloud of dust. So I'm not mad at the fact that they tried to establish the run. What concerned me is how quickly they went away from it. And I have no idea. I don't know football as much as, say, an NFL head coach. I don't know as much football schematically, strategically, as Dewey Riley does here in Tomahawk. I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now. You want to call me an idiot for that? Go ahead.
You are an idiot.
You want to call me an idiot for that? Go ahead. But I did not see any game plan whatsoever against a Raiders defense that is consistently ranked in the bottom 3 over the last decade or so. Their defense has not been good since probably 2000. And that was when they had John Gruden on as their coach and Rich Gannon as a quarterback. And even then offensively, they had Jerry Rice and Tim Brown on that team running up and down the field on everyone. Matt LaFleur, that was probably most ill-prepared I've seen a Green Bay offense in my time watching football. I know that there was no Aaron Jones. If you want to say that Aaron Jones didn't play, here's the thing. Coaches, to me, especially in professional sports, should always have a backup plan ready whenever something goes awry. I know that it was possible that Aaron Jones was going to play. All the signs were pointing to him playing tonight. Jaire Alexander played, and I thought he played a good game. All of the signs pointed to Aaron Jones being played. But you have to have a backup plan. And it seemed to me that LaFleur didn't have a backup plan. So his backup plan essentially was to run the ball in between the tackles and then ask Jordan Love to throw the ball 35 times in that game. The problem with that is when you go up against a Raider defense and you have a lot of inexperienced receivers, you have to put players in positions to succeed as a head coach. That is your job. And everyone is training here like Matt LaFleur is this offensive guru. Matt LaFleur was hired by the Green Bay Packers in 2019. He was the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. You know what the Titans offense ranked that year? 28th offensively. Not middle of the pack, not top 10, not even bottom 10, not even just the bottom third. 28th, the 5th worst offense. That was with Derrick Henry in the backfield. And he was still hired as a head coach by the Green Bay Packers. I'll tell you who else was hired that has either a Super Bowl appearance or a Super Bowl title on their resume in 2019. Zach Taylor, who's a coach of the Bengals because he took Cincinnati to a Super Bowl where they lost to the Rams. And Bruce Arians, who was hired by Tampa Bay, he took Tampa Bay to the Super Bowl. Now, that was obviously because Tom Brady ended up going there because they decided to move on from Jameis Winston. So if you want to go ahead and point to that, okay. But here's the thing also, and people are sitting here and saying that Matt LaFleur is his offensive genius. I'm sorry. I do not see it. This is going back to 2019, and this is sacrilegious to say. I did not expect Matt LaFleur to be the head coach. Me personally, I wanted to see longtime Saints offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael get the role. The reason why is because he worked under Sean Payton for a number of years, And obviously Peyton's time in New Orleans was coming to an end, just like Drew Brees' was, and I wanted to see what he would do with a head coach and a Hall of Fame quarterback, because they still had Rodgers there at the time. But I mean, my goodness, you had 11 days to prepare. Lick your wounds after getting beat by Detroit, which Detroit's the better team this year, and you go up against a team that you should win. They should have won that game. Now, the Love 3 interceptions, let me get to those. The first one, I have no idea what he's throwing at. You can't throw the ball. I don't know schematically as much football as maybe one of the football coaches here in town, or maybe Matt LaFleur. But last time I checked, you don't throw a slant in zone coverage when you have a linebacker literally staring at your face. The second one was a deflected ball. That was not his fault. That was a great break on the ball by Marcus Peters. I think that Christian Watson maybe ran too deep of a curl. He should have maybe come back a little bit more. But that was not on him. That third interception, that final one in the end zone, that is on both Love and Watson. Because Watson was open. Watson was open. If Love had more time to throw, he probably hits Watson for 6. The problem, though, is that when Watson sees that ball hung up, he has got to knock it away from the defender. And the problem that I have with this team, and again, they're a young team, they're in the bye week. We need to see signs of life from this team. The only sign of life that we have seen from them on a consistent basis was against the Bears. And the Bears right now are one of the worst teams in the NFL. Matt LaFleur, that performance could very well get you on the hot seat. They better shape up or ship out. I remember how I said at the beginning of the season that the worst case scenario was Green Bay go 4-13 and have everybody essentially get hurt. It's early, but it's starting to trend that way. I hope it doesn't. They have a bye week to lick their wounds, get themselves healthy, and get ready for their next game. They've got Denver upcoming on the road. That's a winnable game, because Denver has struggled mightily also this year. Focus on what is ahead. They've got Denver and Minnesota their next two games. They win both of them, I think they'll be right back in the saddle. Let me know what you guys think. Go ahead and hit me up on Twitter at AlexPCook28, or go ahead at our WJJQ Twitter page. Go ahead and let us know, what do you think the biggest issue is with the Green Bay Packers? We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll break down the Bucs preseason, including expecting a couple of stars to make their debut. You're tuned into the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Schuene Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuene Construction of Tomahawk.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, would like to remind you the cold weather season is on the way. Make sure your furnace is ready. Lennox makes the air warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about the buy one and get one free special on a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat with a qualifying purchase of a heating and cooling unit. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
We're proud of our history as a century-old Wisconsin institution. Hi, I'm Sue from Crossbridge Community Bank. We stay true to the simple, community-based ideals of a mutual bank that exists to serve its people. That is true for our business customers as well. We want to provide you with everything your business needs to grow and flourish. Stop in to either our Merrill or Tomahawk locations and see what makes Crossbridge Community Bank different from the others. Maybe it's time to make the switch. A bank that puts purpose first. What's your purpose? Let us help you realize it. Visit crossbridge.bank to find out more.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day so far. So remember when the Jonas Brothers were pretty popular on Disney Channel. That's how far I go back, if you will. Wasn't a fan of them by any stretch of the imagination, but still weird that they're putting out new music to this day. Let's go ahead and head to the hardwood and talk some Milwaukee Bucks.
Holiday rips it away! 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it! How about that?
All right, so the Bucks preseason opened up this past week. They opened it up with a 105-102 win over the Bulls. Lost to Memphis last night, 108-102. Again, the Bucks didn't have Giannis, Lillard, or Middleton against Chicago. Also, Portis and Lopez started. Marjon Beauchamp with 18 points, 9 boards against the Bulls. Against Memphis, he had 8 points, 8 boards. Jay Crowder had 14 last night. Now, we did get some breaking news also from Malika Andrews, who spoke to Coach Adrian Griffin on the NBA Today on ESPN. Go ahead and check out that show. Malika Andrews does a very good job. Giannis and Lillard, the two stars, are expected to make their preseason debut this Sunday. So the Bucks' next preseason game is going to be against the Los Angeles Lakers. That's going to be on Sunday. That'll begin at 6 o'clock. Again, Lillard and Giannis will go ahead and make their preseason debut. Now, I would like to know your guys' opinion, because I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines to this next question. Next question I have is, who should be the Bucks' fifth starter? We already know who four of them are going to be. The Bucks starter, in my opinion, the Bucks starters are going to be Damian Lillard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, a healthy Chris Middleton, and Brooke Lopez. Who's going to fit in that fifth starter? Go ahead, call into 453-4481. No swearing again, please. Just be sure to answer your question openly and honestly. Who do you think should be in that fifth spot in the Bucks starting lineup? Now, there are a few different ways you could go with this. The initial reaction was to put Pat Connaughton in the starting lineup. Connaughton, I like him as a 3-and-D guy off the bench. He's not a 3-and-D guy to me. That'll start. He does have 68 career starts in 478 career games. So that is the second most starts on the team of the three starters that I have currently sent. Now, who would like to see? Me personally, I would like to see Bobby Portis into the starting lineup. Here's the reason why, guys. Go ahead, call into 453-4481. Why don't you go ahead and let me know who you think the Bucks' fifth starter should be? Bobby Portis, to me, has the most starts out of the Bucks that is currently on the roster of the bench players at 142 in 523 career games. Plus, he also has started playoff games for this team before. So, my honest opinion is that you move Middleton to the two, you put Giannis or Portis at the three, and you put the other one at the four, you have Lopez at the five. The reason why I say that is because defense wins championships. What they are going to need to do is defend the paint and be sure that you get out on your shooters at a high level. Bobby Portis is a guy that was almost the sixth man of the year last year. Honestly, he should have gotten it. But if you put him in the starting lineup along with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Damian Lillard, and Brooke Lopez, that is going to be a tree trunk line that you'll have in the paint. So if you put Bobby Portis into the starting lineup, in my honest opinion, I think the Bucks will get the best options out of it. Now, the other starter, and this is a guy that is young, and I feel like that it would be very interesting to see him in the starting five, and that would be Marjon Beauchamp. He started 11 games last year in 52 appearances, and that was, again, against some lesser competition. But I think Marjon Beauchamp is the guy that has the most upside of the three because, A, he's young, number one, and number two, he is a guy that can only go up. So if you want to go ahead and go with youth and start Marjon Beauchamp, that's fine. So let me know which of those three guys you would like to see in the starting lineup. Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis, or Marjon Beauchamp. Go ahead and at me on X here on Twitter. We'll go ahead and keep this going for another couple minutes or so. See if anyone calls in. Go ahead, call into 453-4481 want to know what your thoughts are. Now, obviously, going back to the move that brought in Damian Lillard, this is a big win-now move for Milwaukee. And again, we don't see Wisconsin franchises make big win-now moves in free agency or via trade. We've seen the Brewers bring in Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. We've seen the Packers bring in Charles Woodson back in 06. We saw them draft Aaron Rodgers. But again, it's not something that you see. We saw the Bucks do that when they brought in Jrue Holiday a few years ago. Now, the Bucks championship window, to me, it still remains at 2 years, and here's why. Damian Lillard has 2 years left on his deal. Giannis Antetokounmpo has 2 years left on his deal. Chris Middleton has 2 years plus a player option left on his deal. Bobby Portis, 2 years left, 3 years left on his deal. Brooke Lopez just signed a 2-year contract extension. The championship window is now 2 years, and Adrian Griffin, I think the pressure is on him to make sure that he brings this team back, but I also think that him having Terry Stotts in his foxhole will help as well. I do believe also that if the Bucks win a title within the next 2 years, that championship window could very well be extended if the Bucks win this year or next year. If they win either one of these 2 years, I feel like that window could be extended. Adrian Griffin and Terry Stotts will have their hands all over this, in my honest-to-God opinion. It's going to be a very interesting season. Again, Bucks, next preseason game is on Sunday against the Lakers. Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo will be making their preseason debuts. Let me know what you guys think. Who would you like to see as the Bucks' fifth starter this season here in place of Grayson Allen? When we come back, we'll go ahead and go over recaps from week 6 of college football and week 5 of the NFL, go over some scores, and then also I'll be making my NFL week 6 predictions later on. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs, too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Prices so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. 35 tonight under mainly cloudy skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 54. Cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, scattered rain showers likely 40. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday evening. Currently 6:35. Just got the weather forecast in there for you. And we did have a call come in during the break about who should the Bucks' fifth starter be. And Mr. John Larson guessed Jay Crowder, which is an interesting fit. Again, very similar to Pat Connaughton as well, where you have a 3 and D guy coming at the starting lineup and play the 2. Pretty interesting. Let me know what you guys think. Let's go ahead and go over some scores from football weekend. Start with college. First off, number 4, Ohio State takes care of Maryland, 37-17. Red River rivalry lives up to the hype. Number 12, Oklahoma over number 3, Texas, 34-30. Number 23, LSU knocking off number 21, Missouri, 49-39. Number 13, Washington State upset by UCLA, 25-17. Number 5, Florida State defeating Virginia Tech, 39-17. Number 14, North Carolina almost shutting out Syracuse, winning 40-7. Number 11, Alabama knocking off Texas A&M, 26-20. Number 1, Georgia over number 20, Kentucky, not even close, 51-13. Number 16, Ole Miss over Arkansas, 27-20. Number 2, Michigan over Minnesota, 52-10. Number 25, Louisville with the upset of the weekend, 33-20 over number 10, Notre Dame. Also, number 17, Miami losing to Georgia Tech in one of the most boneheaded plays probably in the tenure Mario Cristobal in Miami. Georgia Tech wins 23-20. Number 24, Fresno State upset by Wyoming, 24-19. Number 15, Oregon State knocking off Cal, 52-40. Number 9, USC edging out Arizona in triple overtime, 43-41. Taking a look at upcoming games for this week in college football. Number 1, Georgia is in Vanderbilt. Number 11, Alabama takes on Arkansas. Number 3, Ohio State is at Purdue. Number 4, Florida State takes on Syracuse. Number 2, Michigan is Indiana. Number 16, Utah has California. Number 6, Penn State has UMass. Number 23, Kansas on the road. They're traveling to Oklahoma State. Number 19, Tennessee is against Texas A&M. And we have 4 top 25 matchups coming up this Wednesday, including a top 10 one between Washington and Oregon, number 7 and number 8.
Are you ready for some football?
I'd be ready for football that day. That kickoff's at 2:30 on ABC. Number 14, Louisville is in Pittsburgh. Number 19, Washington State takes on Arizona. Number 22, LSU is against Auburn. Number 24, Kentucky takes on Missouri. Another top 25 matchup. Number 10, USC at number 21, Notre Dame, another good one.
Are you ready for some football?
6:30 on NBC. Number 25, Miami at number 14, North Carolina.
Are you ready for some football?
And finally, the final top 25 matchup. It's a top 20 showdown. Number 18, UCLA and number 15, Oregon State.
Are you ready for some football?
And the final matchup of the night is number 17, Duke at home against North Carolina State. Now recapping scores from NFL Week 5. Chicago gets their first win of the season over Washington. I'll do this very rarely for the Bears. Bears double up the Commanders 40-20. Jacksonville over Buffalo in London 25-20. Atlanta edging out Houston 21-19. Miami over the Giants 31-16. Detroit over Carolina 42-24. New Orleans shutting out New England on the road 34-0. Indianapolis over Tennessee 23-16. Anthony Richardson out for 4 to 8 weeks with a shoulder injury. Pittsburgh upsetting Baltimore 17-10. Philadelphia over the Rams 23-14. Cincinnati over Arizona 34-20. Jets over the Broncos 31-21. Kansas City edging out Minnesota 27-20. San Francisco over Dallas 42-10. And Vegas over the Packers 17-13. Those are the scores from the past week, from the past football weekend. After the break, we'll go ahead and make my picks for NFL Week 6. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to The Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
The Auto House in Tomahawk is your trusted destination for top-of-the-line vehicles and exceptional service. They're here to help you get ready for fall and winter driving season, and yes, it's that time of year. With a rich history, Gary and his Auto House family have been offering service to our Northwoods communities for over 40 years, and you're invited to check out the Auto House inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. Cars, trucks, SUVs, there's over 40 units to choose from. That makes your journey to find the perfect vehicle enjoyable, and more importantly, stress-free. If you need a temporary ride, Gary has you covered with a selection of rental vehicles, and if you need service on your existing vehicle or to get it ready for fall and winter driving, make an appointment with the ASC certified technician at the Auto House. Doing business the right way. The Auto House on North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net at the Auto House in Tomahawk.
Foley's Tree Service, caring for your trees since 1980. This is Ted Foley, ISA certified arborist and second generation family owner. Our employees are trained and educated professionals who respect your property as if it was their own. Whether it is tree removals, pruning, stump grinding, lot and land clearing, tree preservation, or even storm damage cleanup, we are here when you need us. Call us at 715-453-2407 or for our Minocqua listeners, 715-358-2406. Check us out online at foleystreeservice.com. Foley's Tree Service, fully insured and offering free estimates.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. It is now 6:41 here in the Northwoods. And it's now time for our Week 6 NFL predictions. Let's jump right in. All right, let's kick things off with the Thursday night game taking place. It's between the Chiefs and the Broncos. Again, this was hyped as pretty much a big primetime game. Again, just a quick note, we will have that broadcast for you tomorrow night here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, coverage beginning at 6:30. I think the Chiefs will end up getting the victory. The Broncos, to me, have hit rock bottom. I think Kansas City asserts their dominance in the AFC West and defeats Denver 31-17. London game once again, third straight week, and this time it's Baltimore and Tennessee. This is an intriguing matchup. Both teams coming off getting upset on the road. I'm going to go with Tennessee in this one. Baltimore, to me, is very inconsistent. I think that Tennessee's firepower offensively will be enough for them. I think the Titans win by just one. Chicago and Minnesota matchup of the two bottom teams in the NFC North. Both teams with one win on the year. I think it'll be another high-scoring game, and I think it'll be close. Minnesota specialty, a high-scoring loss. They lose 31-30. San Francisco at Cleveland. Deshaun Watson expected to be back next week for the Browns. San Francisco looking to get to 6-0. I got the 49ers winning this game. I think it'll be competitive, but I don't think it'll be enough for Cleveland to get the victory, 28-17. Another intriguing matchup, Atlanta at home against the Washington Commanders. The Commanders are now lost three straight after starting off 2-0. The Falcons are a very perplexing team to me. They don't use their offensive weapons, but somehow, someway, they come away with a win. I'm going to take the Falcons in this one. I think they win 27-23. Washington's defense, they're not very good this year, and I don't know why. Jacksonville at home against Indianapolis. Gardner Minshew getting the start for Anthony Richardson, one of probably four, or at least four straight, as he heads to the IR. Jacksonville's offense showed up against Buffalo last week. I think that'll carry over, and I think the Jaguars get the win 27-24. Houston at home against New Orleans. This is another intriguing showdown. C.J. Stroud has shown a lot of promise in his first few starts in the NFL. I think it'll be another close game here, but I think New Orleans ultimately pulls away. I think they win 21-17. Just about halfway through, keeping it going here with our NFL Week 6 predictions. Miami at home against winless Carolina. The Carolina Panthers, I don't know what to make of them, and I don't know what to make of Bryce Young, because the team does not seem to be performing well around him. That includes a coach, Frank Reich. That includes the receiving corps and the offensive line. I think that the general manager has done a decent job to try and put this team together, but it's not gelling. Dolphins win by 14. That's without Devon Achane as well. Cincinnati at home against Seattle. Another intriguing matchup. A lot of them this week. Seattle currently sitting at 3-1. They're coming off the bye this week. Cincinnati coming off their second win of the season over Arizona. I think they make it two in a row, and I think they beat Seattle at home 24-23. Vegas at home against New England. Josh McDaniels coaching against Bill Belichick. The Patriots, again, they're a team that's hit rock bottom as well. I think the Raiders will get the victory. I know that Bill Belichick does well against his former assistants, but I think McDaniels gets the win 24-20. Another good matchup, Tampa Bay at home against Detroit. The Lions have been performing incredibly well. This is going to be my upset of the week.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Detroit Lions in Tampa, 28-27. I think Baker Mayfield leads a last-second touchdown drive to beat the Lions. Rams at home against the Cardinals. Cardinals are being very competitive this year. They're putting their hearts out for Jonathan Gannon, their new head coach, but I think it won't be enough. I think the Rams get the win, and I think it'll be by 8. Philadelphia at the New York Jets. Again, this was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers in the starting lineup, with it being the late slate game. The Eagles will make quick work of the Jets, in my opinion, 31-14. Before we go on to our primetime matchups, there are two teams that are on the bye this week. The Packers are off this week, as are Pittsburgh Steelers. Both teams looking to go ahead and get back and win column. Steelers currently leading in the AFC North. Now to our Sunday night game. It's a New York showdown as the Buffalo Bills take on the New York Giants. The Giants have struggled mightily. Daniel Jones is expected to miss time. That is not going to bode well for the Giants, especially in a hostile environment like Buffalo. I think the Bills bounce back. They get a much-needed win, and they knock off the Giants. I think it won't even be close, 35-17. We'll have that broadcast for you here on WJJQ. NFL Sunday recap show at 6:30, kickoff at 7:15. And finally, our Monday Night Football showdown. This is a good matchup. Chargers against the Cowboys at SoFi Stadium. Kellen Moore becoming the offensive coordinator against his former team. I think that this is going to be a very competitive game. It'll go absolutely down to the wire. I don't think Dallas will get blown out. but I think the Chargers will get the win. I think it'll be close. We'll have the broadcast of this game for you also on WJJQ. NFL Monday preview show begins at 6:30, kickoff at 7:15 from SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. I got the Chargers winning this game. I think they win on a last-second field goal, and I think the final score will be 27-24. Those are my NFL Week 6 predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grinnell invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on, come on, choose, have the motion for you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health in Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
For you. Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. About ready to wrap things up here. Let's take a look at upcoming Hatchet events and broadcasts for the week. Hatchet Girls Swimmers will wrap up their 2023 season with a dual meet at home against Lakeland. Races will begin at 5:30 tomorrow evening. As of right now, this could change because we got some inclement weather coming in on Friday. Hatchet football plays for a potential playoff spot against Clintonville Friday night. Farron Orthodontics pregame show will be at 6:35, kickoff at 7 o'clock. Matt Turkowitz will join me in the broadcast booth Friday night. Hatchet Cross Country has their Great Northern Conference meet coming up at Mosinee on Saturday. That'll begin at 11 o'clock that morning. And other than that, Hatchet Volleyball has their first WIAA Division II playoff match at home as they take on Great Northern Conference foe Rhinelander on Tuesday. Fairman Orthodontics coaches shows at 6:35. First serve will be at 7 o'clock. Keith Hansey will join me in the broadcast booth Tuesday night. If Tomahawk wins, they'll play either 3rd-seeded Mosinee or 14th-seeded Marinette on Thursday. Next Thursday, that is. Now let's take a look at the Northwoods Football Conference and Great Northern Conference schedule for Week 9. Just a quick note, we did just get this update from Travis Wilson, who runs WisSports.net. He does a great job giving everyone updates on what's going on. Obviously, with it being rainy throughout the state this weekend, there is one game that did get moved up, and it's a meaningless game. Mosinee at home against Merrill. Mosinee has clinched the Great Northern Conference. Merrill is eliminated from playoff contention. That's been moved to Thursday at 7 o'clock. So just a quick scheduling note for you there. Clintonville Tomahawk play in for a postseason spot. That begins at 7 o'clock. Other than that, Krivitz is going to play for a potential Northwoods Football Conference title. They got O'Connell Falls. Cranon is in Coleman. Lakeland against Rhinelander, who if they win, they get in the postseason as well. Hayward, who could get in with a win over Ashland. And Medford and Anago will go toe-to-toe to see who takes home second place in the Great Northern Conference. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Have a sportacular day, and I'll see you next week. Hey!
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.